Shall we kill our way into the reign of God? In Monday's Tampa Bay Times, there was a link to an essay by Jesse Kelly, a Marine Corps veteran from Texas, who asserts that all good Americans, a term he does not define, should take responsibility for our own protection. We should get a gun, train with it, and be prepared to kill those who threaten our safety. Our responsibility to do that by any means means that any laws limiting our freedom to do so must be repealed. Mr. Kelly's assertion is utterly consistent with the phase of human existence that, according to anthropologists, we've been in for 10,000 years, maybe 15,000. It was then that humans began settling into towns and cities and owning land and homes. At the same time, they discovered the very basic principle that makes this concept of owning and having stuff work. Might makes right. Those who are stronger, first physically and eventually economically and socially, get to determine what is right, and what is right is what they want. Then they use their strength, physical, economic, social, to get it. The eons of oppression of those who are not mighty attest to the reality that humanity is embedded in the system of might makes right. And the psalm lists the oppressed, the weak, the humble, the needy, the poor. And I'll add others from the Bible, this Bible that's 2,000 to 5,000 years old, women, children, refugees, orphans, slaves, the lame and the diseased. People without might. The question is not whether mighty people sometimes do great things. Of course they do, and thank God for them. The question is whether the entire system of might makes right is God's foundation for creation to be as God intends. Admittedly, a good bit of the Hebrew Bible seems to argue for the system of might makes right. There are plenty of descriptions of holy wars, and even the Exodus from Egypt was accomplished through death, the angel of death sweeping through the night, using the might of the Lord to give the Israelites freedom. But I ask you, did it work? Did humanity learn that God is so powerful that we should put down our weapons and let God rule the nations? Did this heart-rending tragedy of the death of the firstborn bring a righteous peace that lasts? Is Israel a heavenly haven of peace, harmony, justice, and hope today? No? Why? Because instead of learning that God holds our lives and our deaths in holy hands, we claimed God's power for ourselves and became, year after year, century after century, war after war, increasingly expert at using death and violence, might and coercive power to structure every facet of human existence, our governments, our religions, our neighborhoods, our families. Those who are mighty are deeply invested in maintaining this system, and their major task is to convince or coerce those of us who are not mighty to support the system of might makes right as normal and even just. However, other portions of Hebrew scripture, especially the prophets, such as Isaiah and the one we hear from today, Jeremiah, call the whole system of might makes right into question. The false prophets that Jeremiah calls out are those that told the king of Judah that if he took sides with a huge foreign power and their army, he would vanquish the army of another huge foreign power that was attacking them. The false prophet's dreams were ones of victory, grounded in the assertion that as the chosen people, God would, of course, make the Jews the winners. Jeremiah's message, the true prophet's message, was not that God would do the king's will, but that the king should do God's will, which is to bring about God's justice, God's righteousness, which is to defend the poor, the weak, all those things that the psalm talks about. That's the word of God that the people of God needed to proclaim, says Jeremiah. The king, I will note, did not listen to Jeremiah. The king lost the war, the temple was destroyed, and the king and most of Judah went into exile. Jeremiah's message of God's justice and righteousness was also Paul's. Paul writes that in the fullness of time, the word of God incarnate, Jesus Christ, came to bring the reign of God near. A reign where might makes right is no longer humanity's foundation. Instead, we are to build each other up with living stones that are God's way of love. Jesse Kelly and Paul of Tarsus lay out two very different futures for humanity. Here is Mr. Kelly's message, and I quote, "Nobody is coming to save you. Nobody is coming to help you. You are responsible to protect yourself and your loved ones. Killers are out there. They're everywhere. Take responsibility for your own protection. If you truly desire to be safe, then pick up a weapon, train with it, and make yourself safe." And that is Might Makes Right at the individual level in the best nutshell description I've ever heard. This is a continuation of the legacy we've been living for 10,000 years. We know how to do it. We get better and better at it every single year. Our weapons are more and more deadly in the hands of more and more people, none of whom would uniformly agree on what a good American is. Based on what we've seen happen in our nation since our Civil War with the industrialization of weaponry, where do you think this legacy will eventually bring us? If each one of us can eliminate anyone whom we deem to be a threat to our safety, physical, economic, or social, will peace finally come? Can we really kill our way into heaven? Paul lays out a different future for humanity, a future that does need a savior. He starts by telling the truth about the human condition, that the legacy of might makes right that's been ruling everyone, not just the powerless, but everyone for so long, is trouble, distress, harassment, famine, nakedness, danger, and the sword. This is exactly the suffering of Christ that Paul talks about, the suffering of Jesus as he endured the hatred of the mighty who were determined to stop his proclamation of God's word because it threatened their sense of safety, their right to have things the way they wanted them to be. It is this way of sin and death, Paul says, that we need to be saved from. The proclamation of our Savior, Jesus Christ, is God's reign of love. The message of Christ bucks 10,000 years of human addiction to self-serving systems dedicated to safeguarding our own self-interest. When Jesus bucked the system, it got him killed by those who were skilled at wielding weapons that the system of might makes right extols, weapons that entrench the power of the strong and weapons that destroy those who cannot or will not use them. But here's the stunning news, and it's still news today. Putting Jesus to death did not actually work. Might makes right failed. On the third day, love won. The power of love overcame the power of hate and its ultimate weapon, death. The power of God's love cannot be stopped. The power of God's love cannot be stopped. In one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, Paul exalts in the firm foundation of our Christian hope, "Nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord, not death or life, or not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth or any other thing that is created." This is what creation is waiting for breathlessly. The day of the Lord when real peace comes, when humanity and all creation is grounded on the foundation of God's love. If this is indeed our hope, then Jesus' cry of frustration in the gospel makes total sense. He says, "How I am distressed until God's purpose is completed. Do you think I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, I've come instead to bring division." And the division that Jesus brings is a decision we need to make to commit our lives to one of the two foundations for human existence set before us. Will it be might makes right, the conditions we now live in, and which will get us more of what we already have? Or will it be love? Particularly, and Jesus says this twice just in Luke, to love our enemies. And generally, which is in all four Gospels, to love our neighbors as ourselves. These are the conditions of the reign of God, and these are the conditions that will change everything. Can we kill our way to heaven? If we think we can, what kind of God do you think rules there? Does that God look like Jesus? If instead we buck the system and choose the way of love, we may not be safe in this life. Jesus wasn't. But we are assured of the sweeping victory of the Most High through the fire and hammer of love that will shatter the hardest of hearts. You may be surprised to hear that I agree with Mr. Kelly when he says, no government ultimately can solve this problem for us. Now, I assume our agreement ends there, but he asserts that the answer lies in everyone being armed to the teeth. Jeremiah and Paul and Jesus proclaim that the answer is for us to love as God loves, which is what I've hoped you heard in this message. Whether or not you agree with me, because of the inexorable might of God's creating, forgiving, and reconciling love, nothing can separate any of us from the love of God. And this is the destiny that Christ won for all humanity, Jew, Greek, slave, free, male, female, weak, strong, rich, poor, you, me, and Jesse Kelly, too.